Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This year, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the blog, and there are a lot of exciting things in the works. From new music here on the podcast to a new look on the website, I can't wait to share everything with you. You might be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast, and today is a special bonus episode in partnership with Roomy. I'm excited to bring you another special bonus episode on a Sunday. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mention. Ready to level up your lessons? This episode is sponsored by Roomy. Roomy is a charity with the mission of making learning accessible to all learners. As the student profile evolves, students are learning at times of their own convenience. Roomy strives to meet learners where they are, providing the easy scenario of mobile micro-learning. The organization has data science around the impact of micro-learning and improving learner retention with learners ages 15 to 25. Roomy's micro-learning courses are 22% more effective than traditional courses. Go to roomy.org to learn more and attend one of their free micro-learning workshops. Today's episode is titled, The Power of Microlearning: How to Save Time and Boost Engagement, a bonus episode with Roomy. And it was so great having the chance to chat with Dr. Nancy Miller today. Nancy and I talked about the concept of microlearning, what it is, how it works in a classroom setting, and why it might be the perfect choice for boosting engagement. If you're new to the idea of microlearning, this episode is for you. Or if you're a microlearning pro, then you'll want to hear all about Roomy, the platform we spotlight today. Let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat about our topic today. But before we dive in, can you share a bit about your role and your background in this space?
Yes. So my name is Nancy, or if you want to be official, Dr. Nancy Miller. Mm-hmm. And I've been working in the education space for 2 decades. So I began my career as a classroom teacher and tutor, then as a university lecturer and curriculum developer. And more recently, I've been focusing on education technology ventures and acting as a bridge to the education sector. More recently, I've joined Roomy as the director of learning, where I guide the content teams in developing professional assets for partners, teachers, and learners.
Wonderful. And I mentioned in the intro a little bit about Roomy, and it's been so fun to dive into all the resources there. And before we talk about that, I really want to focus in on one of the words that comes up in the conversations I've had around this platform and just around the idea of making the most of education technology in general. And today we're exploring this topic and that term micro learning. So that topic of micro learning. And it's a term that, you know, everyone might not use in their regular day-to-day, mm-hmm. right? And talking about mm-hmm. education, mm-hmm. but micro-learning, can you help us unpack this term?
Totally. Yeah. So it's unfamiliar to many people, but I imagine everyone is engaged in micro-learning. It's anytime you engage in quick bites of learning, focus specific outcomes. So I really love the definition from Carl Kapp and Robin Defilis in their 2019 book, Short and Sweet, or Microlearning Short and Sweet. And they call microlearning instructional units that provide short engagement in an activity that is intentionally designed to elicit a specific outcome from the participants. So whether that's dancing on TikTok, learning some new moves, or learning a new song on YouTube, that's all microlearning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the intention, right, in that definition, right? Or using the word intention, because you're absolutely right. I know, and I'll sometimes joke that we all have that person in our life that says, I heard this on a podcast, or I learned this on TikTok. And I know I am that person for a lot of people where I'm sharing some quick tip that I learned. And, you know, sometimes in those moments, those are unintentional consequences of me spending time in these different platforms. Doesn't mean I didn't learn some great trick that's going to help me do the dishes more efficiently from a TikTok video. But I love what you said about the intention that can go along with micro learning and being really purposeful about having these bite-sized moments. So, you know, what role does technology play here when we talk about micro learning?
Yeah, it plays a really big role, because micro learning really burst in popularity around the advent of mobile technology, because the smartphone is a perfect tool and delivery system for microlearning, because most people engage with their smartphones when they're in line at the grocery store or those interval moments, you know, on the subway or wherever your bus or whatever. So in that way, microlearning is perfect, because it, you know, it's often under 7 minutes long. It engages, you know, the working memory easily. So I would say that, as well as social media, because social media has that spirit of collaboration and interactivity and engagement for brief periods of time. So those two aspects of technology have really helped the popularity of micro learning.
Yeah. And the, you know, the consumption behaviors that we're all used to as adult learners, right? Picking up a phone, being online somewhere, waiting at the doctor's office and saying, I can invest 3, 5, 7 minutes. I'm not going to press play on a video that's 15 minutes long right now. Right. You know, in the same way, I can't commit to that, right? In terms of knowing what my day might look like. And, you know, I'm sure you've had lots of conversations with educators too, who talk about how, especially their secondary students, right? Their middle school, high school students are consuming and even creating content on their mobile device, right? A school might give them a Chromebook, but they're using an iPhone to actually finish up that Google Doc assignment. And, you know, when I talk to educators, I'll sometimes say, it's not just knowing that the tool or the resource or the activity will work on the device you've given, but the device that kids are actually going to use. So I love how you just place that emphasis on the mobile piece and then the social aspect, right? We want to talk about things. And so this kind of gets into my next question here around student engagement, because sometimes that social piece is part of being engaged in content. So how does micro learning connect to student engagement? What are some of the ways it could boost student engagement in a classroom?
Right. So back to that social aspect, microlearning is so easily works in concert with social media. So you learners can share it. They can talk about it. There's those different engagement techniques that social media does so well, the GIFs and the, or the GIFs, if you prefer that pronunciation.
I go back and forth. Yeah.
And, you know, brief, playful sentences and jokes and fun facts and quizzes, all of that is engaging for students. And I think there's also a science behind it. I've been reading a lot about this science piece that, you know, working memory can only hold 4 chunks maximum of information at a time. So that really helps with student engagement, because they're not overwhelmed with information. They know that they're only, you know, juggling a few bites of information. It's easy to review those. And all that works in concert to make it more engaging.
Yeah, and just that idea that you could have a shared experience with someone, I think, is really interesting too, right? Yes, there might be some sharing on social media or just kind of pushing it out for other people to see, but, you know, we know it's a lot easier to talk to someone about a news article or a YouTube clip or, you know, a podcast episode than say a whole novel, right? Like getting everyone together for a book club can be a little bit tough, right? But if you have a smaller amount of content, you can still have really deep conversations and maybe just layer that on top.
Yeah. So,
you know, if we're thinking about micro learning in different subject areas, right? I mentioned that kind of the reading piece or reflection piece, but I know that the content here could really go in a lot of different directions. Do you have any stories to share of successfully using micro learning in different subject areas?
Yeah, I mean, Rumi hasn't been focused so much on subject areas primarily, but we are moving towards that direction as we partner with districts and schools and teachers. But we do have, for example, a community, a live community on Discord, where we have learners come in and do exactly what you said. Our community moderator, she chooses a bite, and that's, you know, the learners can read it 6 minutes before or during the call and refer to it and engage in the subject, whether it's a lot of learning how to learn. So that's really coming to the forefront as a subject, because things change so quickly in that quality of, you know, knowing how you learn best, understanding it is really empowering for students. And going back to even my career as a teacher, before I even knew what microlearning was, I always started with a starter at the beginning of the class and ending. And that, you know, they usually didn't last more than 5 minutes, but it was an excellent way to jump into learning, to have fun, to meet a really quick objective, whether it be reviewing something before or priming the brain for learning. So there's so many ways that it can be successfully implemented in classrooms, in discussion groups.
Yeah. And, you know, I like that concept of, you know, the front loading perhaps, or what I think now we've used the term asynchronous instruction a little bit more often than, say, a flipped classroom, right? Although they're very different. So yeah, I don't want to use them interchangeably here, but just saying, you know, where I hear more people talking about consuming content outside of a classroom setting, I tend to hear the term asynchronous a little bit more frequently, where kids can move at their own pace. They can consume the content at the time that is right for them. And so I would imagine, even for an educator who's listening, who's thinking about personalized learning or attending to student interests, that the ability to distribute shorter pieces of content to maybe preview them or have something ready for a small group must be a lot easier with these bite-sized pieces. So, you know, before we talk a little bit more about getting started with this, would love to hear, you know, are there any, you know, great examples maybe on Rumi or that you've seen educators use, like, of these kind of short, bite-sized engagements?
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking recently Rumi has put forward an initiative, of course, with Black History Month. So three things you could learn from Black heroes. And this is a fantastic way to look at something from many different levels. So a lot of learning is emotional and personal. So when a student can, or a young person can, look to a figure and say, I learned this from them and I learned that from them and I can apply it to my life. So all of the bites end with action steps, which we encourage people to take then to whether they're family or their classroom or our community on Discord to integrate it. And we really try to make the bites with Rumi easy to access. We're all about accessibility. So they're written for an audience that is, you know, maybe in middle school, but it's also, you know, our designers are very talented, so they can target, you know, even like, for example, the film, I don't know, like a Disney film is targeted to young people, but adults love it too.
I love that example. And, you know, you mentioned about the action items that go along with this content, which I think is so important to emphasize as we think about consuming, right? Or these small bits of information. I was working with a group earlier this week as we're recording this, where we talked a lot about the intention, like, I'm showing this because after we're going to, right? And just thinking about that language that we have in our planning, because it can be tempting when we come across something great to push it out and then kind of hope it sticks. So I love that idea of incorporating action items alongside, you know, this quick content to make sure that that purpose and that intention is just really, really brought home. So, you know, if a listener's interested in this concept of micro learning, what is a quick way they could get started?
So the best way to get started for people who want to access the bites is just go to rumi.org or rumi/learn.org. And there's a whole host of fantastic bites. So you can scroll through the different categories. You can search for something you're interested in. You can just explore. And there's no expectations. There's no tests that are really demanding or anything like that. So it's really designed to be, you know, like social media, engaging, playful. And also, as you mentioned, Monica, designed to bring into your life. So all of the lessons are really like designed that students can take something away from it and really own it. Yeah.
Yeah. And just, you know, as you were talking there, I could imagine someone who's getting started with this idea, kind of wrapping their head around what it might look like in action mm-hmm. in their learning mm-hmm. environment, right? Mm-hmm. Heading to a spot like Roomie and checking out some of those pieces. And, you know, do you have educators that use content just kind of as a one-off, like a starter activity, like you said, mm-hmm. it's from your own experience? Or do you find that teachers maybe stitch these micro learning experiences together? Is there kind of a common experience or a lot of things happening?
A lot of things. So we were in the process of actually putting together a document of all the possibilities. And we also train the teachers themselves to create their own bites of learning. So that can be a fantastic activity to really tailor the technology in the, it's called Roomie Build, that aspect of our platform. And it's so fun to use and so easy to break things down into simple steps for teachers and even for young people. It's a great activity, for example, to bring into the class, build your own bites. So students can actually, you know, the best way to learn is the old adage goes, is to teach something. So if you get those teach young people to actually create their own lessons, I think that's a fantastic way to do it too.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that piece because, you know, we are thinking here not only about micro learning as a consumption activity, mm-hmm. right? Maybe it is content that's already created, a teacher is finding it and using it as is, or customizing mm-hmm. or building their own, which is, of course, a possibility, like you mentioned, but that it could actually act as an exemplar, right? Or a mm-hmm. great example for a student creation, having them mm-hmm. right, break down the pieces, a concept, right? Get mm-hmm. ready to share that with another student. And so I would imagine that that could be a type of authentic assessment for a student who's consumed a lot of these materials. Have you seen that as well?
Yeah. So that, I mean, it's wonderful to be able to distill knowledge into these steps. And I find even as a teacher, like breaking this up into steps helps me really understand something better. So it is, I hadn't thought about that, Monica, but yes, an assessment is a fantastic way to, you know, a way to like formatively work with the students in a way that they're taking knowledge and making it their own, making it fun. So, you know, students can go into the library of GIFs and pull something out that's mm-hmm. relevant to the topic, which is, you know, what people are doing on TikTok anyway. Oh, yeah. So it's all seamless.
Yeah, just that higher order thinking, getting kids to think critically, make some decisions about, right, does this GIF work here? Like, is this going to actually communicate? And even just the idea of being able to solicit or give feedback for another student's creation too. I love this concept of micro learning because it feels so doable, right? You can do just one short chunk or one bite, or you can stitch together a bunch of these short learning experiences for a group. And I think that's one of the reasons that when I first connected with the Roomie team last year, you know, and was learning about what the platform had to offer, it was just exciting to see that the kind of content we know students, especially secondary students, consume. But I think it's true of elementary students with their short clips that they might engage with.
Yeah.
Just to see that it could be used in such a purposeful, step-by-step way, and that you have a lot of content that is ready to go, which I think now, just like ever, but more than ever, right, is something that educators are looking for, content that's high quality, ready to use, and ready to customize, because we know every year, even year to year, is different. So can we step back for a bit and just go back to Roomie there? So what exactly does Roomie do, and how can someone get started using this platform?
Yeah, I think the best way to describe Roomie is a community. So we have a whole ecosystem of tools. We have like the build platform, which teachers can use to build their own content. The front-facing libraries are the things that people most interact with. So there's categories of learning, whether it's learning about relationships or learning about personal finances, really life and career skills is what we focus on. We also have this online supportive community. So for example, if in a class, if a teacher wants to bring in a bite and or a content from the library and students don't feel comfortable, you know, approaching their teacher for support, they can log on anonymously to our Discord server, and there's a fantastic moderator there and a whole group of supportive people that can help that learner. Yeah, so Roomie is for everybody. We do focus on content aimed at between the ages of, let's say, 15 and 25, but that's not strict. And we tend to, because we're a charity, we focus our efforts on disadvantaged communities. So, you know, girls in Afghanistan, refugees, or First Nations people in Northern Ontario. But we're also moving into different spaces and offering it to train multiple contexts. So it's really flexible. It's a great tool. And I really encourage people to get on there and explore.
Well, that is fantastic. And I appreciate you giving us that view of all the things that Roomie does and can do for an educator. And I will, of course, make sure to put links so everyone can find. So if you're listening in today, you can find a link to Roomie's homepage right here in the description for the episode on whatever platform you're listening into. But before we finish up here, Nancy, can you share, you know, where can listeners connect with you and Roomie and learn more about your work?
Yeah, so for teachers, you know, of course, I mentioned the Roomie Library. There's also our page about.roomie.org, which gives a little bit of background. If you want to contact me directly, my name is Nancy Miller, and my email at Roomie is nancy@roomie.org. And I'd love to be able to share with your listeners, we've just put out a wonderful resource on micro learning. And I don't know if that would be helpful for people to have something like that. But I'd love to hear from people. We also have if you're a teacher or an educator, learning designer, we have a LinkedIn group that's wonderful, champion all people who love learning and want to learn about digital tools and support learners in the classroom and beyond.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to have to go find that LinkedIn group after we finish up today. Yeah. So thank you so much, Nancy, for your time, for sharing all of these great tips and unpacking this concept of micro learning for us today.
Thank you so much, Monica. Yeah, it's great to talk with you.
Dr. Nancy Miller shared so many great tips and resources. Let's finish up today's episode, like we always do, by making this EdTech easy. First, use small chunks of information. Next, incorporate social sharing. Then, model lifelong learning. And finally, use microlearning content as a social activity. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at Roomie. A big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, Roomie. Roomie allows teachers to integrate mobile microlearning courses for their students, update stale content, increase learner retention, and cut down on planning time by browsing the free content available in the Roomie library, and challenge your students to replace their social media scrolling time with a microlearning course. Check out roomie.org for free content that makes lesson planning easier and more engaging. If you have a moment to leave a review, I would super duper appreciate it. I read every single review that comes through on the different podcast platforms. I keep my eyes peeled for any questions that come in there too. So if you have a moment, please leave a star rating or type in a quick review. Not only do I appreciate it so much, but it also helps boost the podcast in search engines, meaning other educators will find it easier when they search for the Easy EdTech podcast.